Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
Well, hey, y'all. Good morning. It's good seeing you. One of the things I miss the most about my mom is our daily FaceTime calls. Every morning on my way to work, that was our time. And mom would sit there on her recliner staring at her phone, scared to death she would miss that phone call. And then we'd be into the call a few minutes. And I'd say 80% of the mornings, mom would say the same thing to me. And she would look at me and she would say, "Oh, honey, you look so tired." Well, thanks, Mom. I appreciate the compliment. And then she would say, "Honey, I don't think you're getting enough rest." And then later that evening, like clockwork, about 5:45, 6 p.m., she would text me. And she would say, "Now, honey, it's 6 o'clock. No more caffeine or it'll keep you up at night and you need your beauty sleep." Every night. What I wouldn't give for just one more FaceTime with Mom. If mom could FaceTime me today from heaven, I'm pretty sure she would say, "Honey, you look tired." If your mom FaceTime you this morning, and she could look down into your soul, what would she see? What would be your mama's concern for you? Well, I'm certainly not mom. But just for a moment, let's pretend that I'm a soul doctor and you're the patient and it's time for your annual soul exam. You're sitting on the examination table. I walk in, I'm in the white coat. I sit on that little stool that turns, I pull out my iPad and I say, "Good morning, let's begin with some questions. How would you describe the state of your soul right now?" I'm not talking about your blood pressure, not talking about, you know, your physical body. I'm talking about your soul. Is your soul well rested? Or is your soul restless? Is your soul at peace? Or do you have an anxious spirit? Is there joy in your soul? Or are you irritable on the inside? Is your soul at ease? Or is your soul exhausted this morning? If your soul is anxious, irritable, strained, tired, God wants to give you a gift this morning. It's the gift of Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ. That you can cease striving. You can stop trying so hard to earn God's favor because Jesus has already done everything that must be done to accomplish your salvation, and you can just rest in Jesus. It's week 10 of our verse-by-verse study of the book of Mark. You can stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's word. We're going to read two sections today, beginning in Mark 2, verse 23. In Mark 1 and 2, there are five consecutive controversies or disputes between the Pharisees and Jesus. The last two of the five are over this issue or this doctrine or this commandment of the Sabbath day. Verse 23, the Holy Spirit writes through Mark, "On the Sabbath, he," that's Jesus, "was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to make their way, picking some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, to Jesus, 'Look, Why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Jesus said to them, have you never read what David and those who were with him did when David was in need and hungry? How David entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest, and also gave some to his companions? Then Jesus told them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So then the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a shriveled hand. In order to accuse Jesus, the Pharisees were watching him closely to see whether he, that's Jesus, would heal the man on the Sabbath. He told the man with a shriveled hand, stand before us. Then he said to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But the Pharisees were silent. And after looking around at them with anger, Jesus was grieved at the hardness of their hearts. And he told the man, stretch out your hand. So the man stretched it out and his hand was restored. And immediately the Pharisees went out and started plotting with the Herodians against him, how they might kill Jesus. Thank you. You can be seated. Lord, would you add your blessing to the reading and teaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In Mark 2, it's probably May or June. It's early summer. It's a Saturday, which meant it was a Sabbath day. Jesus and his followers are on their way to the synagogue, or we would say they were on their way to church. The disciples apparently hadn't had much to eat that morning and they were hungry, so they're going through a grain field and they grab a couple handfuls of grain to satisfy their hunger, a little mid-morning snack. But close behind, watching with suspicion, were the notorious legalistic Pharisees who we've met a couple chapters back. The Pharisees were the religious know-it-alls. They were the policy police. They were the rule rangers, always looking to slap your hand for when you've done something wrong. The Pharisees, with their critical, judgmental eyes, see the disciples grabbing a little handful of grain on the Sabbath. Big no-no. And in verse 24, the Pharisees said to Jesus, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? This is the first Sabbath-breaking accusation they're going to hurl at Jesus. Plucking grain on the Sabbath, that was considered work and breaking the Sabbath. Now hold on to that thought and fast forward maybe a few hours. Jesus and disciples, they make it to church that morning. And now we're going to see the second alleged Sabbath violation by Jesus and his followers. Chapter 3, verse 1, Jesus entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a shriveled hand in order to accuse him. So they're looking for a reason to get Jesus here. They, that's the Pharisees, were watching him closely to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath. That's the point. The Pharisees follow Jesus and his followers all the way to church with this critical, suspicious, condescending eye, trying to catch Jesus in the act of breaking the law, which from their legalistic perspective would have been healing a man on the Sabbath. If you heal a sick person on the Sabbath, you're working way too hard. God forbid you heal somebody on the Sabbath day. And if they can catch Jesus breaking the Sabbath again, that'd be two Sabbath violations in one day. Pretty big deal. When verse 3, as we read, Jesus, in spite of their accusations, he heals the man on the Sabbath. And then look at the Pharisees' response again in verse 6. Immediately, the Pharisees went out and started plotting with the Herodians against Jesus, how they might kill him. This whole Sabbath thing's a really big deal. So big, when Jesus allegedly violates the Sabbath, the Pharisees conspire a plot to kill him, which, by the way, they would. So what's going on with the Sabbath that it's such a big deal to the religious crowd of those days? Well, the word Sabbath comes from the Greek word sabbaton. Its root word is a verb that means to cease or to stop. The double letter in the Greek, like the double B in Sabbath, is an intensified form. So it's a complete stopping of work. It was God who originally created this concept, this idea of Sabbath back in the very beginning. Genesis chapter 2, we're introduced to Sabbath. Verse 3, God blessed the seventh day. That's after he created everything for 6 days. God blessed the seventh day and declared it as the seventh day holy. That means set apart, different from the other days. For on it, God rested from all his work of creation. So from the very beginning of time, God builds into his world this concept, this rhythm of rest, of Sabbath. You work 6 days, then you stop working, and you take a whole day and you rest on the seventh day. God modeled this. Now fast forward 2,500 years, God gives the law to his people, what we would know as the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20. And look at the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work. You, your son or daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock, even the goats got a day off, or the resident alien who is within your city gates. And now, though, notice how God roots this Sabbath command back in creation order from Genesis 1 and 2, verse 11. Here's why you keep the Sabbath. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days. And then God rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. A few months later, Exodus 31, God reiterates the importance of the Sabbath day again. And the Sabbath is such a big deal in Exodus 31 that breaking the Sabbath command was considered to be a capital offense. You work on a Saturday, they might kill you. Can you imagine every 13-year-old boy? Sorry, Dad, I am not mowing the yard today. And I have very good reason. Fast forward 40 years later, God gives the law for the second time, the book of Deuteronomy. And again, he reiterates the necessity of keeping the Sabbath. So this keeping and honoring the Sabbath day in the Old Testament, it was very important to God. But here's the thing the Pharisees missed. God doesn't give details on specifically what it means to keep the Sabbath. God simply says, don't work on the Sabbath. But that wasn't enough for the legalistic scribes and Pharisees. They wanted to add additional extra biblical rules and man-made regulations to make the Sabbath commandment more restrictive than God himself intended. So the Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders over time, they created this massive book of laws called the Talmud, super, super thick. It had 24 chapters on how to keep the Sabbath alone. So the super religious Jews took the one commandment God had given, keep the Sabbath day, honor it. They took that one scriptural command and they turned God's one, which should have been enough, into 39 individual, particular, specific man-made commandments and rules for the Sabbath. And then the religious people elevated their man-made rules on the same level as and higher than Scripture itself. This is called legalism. Legalism is when religious people require more rules, more restrictions, and traditions than God himself. And then when you don't keep their rules, they condemn you. Few things infuriated our Lord Jesus more than legalistic people. When they try to condemn Jesus for healing a man on the Sabbath, God forbid, look at Jesus' response in chapter 3, verse 5. After looking around at them with anger,
Jesus was grieved at the hardness of their hearts. Jesus is ticked off at legalism and legalistic people. Now, to give you an idea, here's just a few examples of these extra rules and man-made traditions the Pharisees added to the Sabbath, none of which were given by God himself. Let me just give you a few. The religious people determined the most you were allowed to travel on the Sabbath day was 1,999 steps. If you took the 2,000th step, you broke the Sabbath. If you threw an object in the air with one hand and you caught that object with the other hand, that was considered a sin. You'd done too much work. It was a rough time for all the jugglers in those days. By the way, you know how you kill a circus? You go straight for the juggler. Yeah. So. Sorry, dad joke. Let me tell you how they abused the Sabbath. A tailor couldn't carry his needle on the Sabbath. A writer couldn't carry her pen on the Sabbath. A student couldn't even carry his or her books on the Sabbath. That was considered too much work. Ladies, it would have been a real tough time for you to keep the Sabbath, according to the Pharisees. Women could not look in a glass or a mirror on the Sabbath day, or they were afraid you might find a gray or white hair and be tempted to pull it out. That'd be considered too much work. A woman could not wear a wig on the Sabbath day if that wig weighed more than a fig. True story. If the wig weighed more than a fig, that was considered work, and you broke the Sabbath. They even debated if a parent was allowed to pick up their child on the Sabbath day, because if the child weighed a little too much, it'd be considered work. Poor little two-month-old screaming her guts out. Mama says, "Get your own milk. It's the Sabbath day." All the 8-year-old boys loved the Sabbath day, though, by the way, didn't they? "Sorry, Mom, can't take a bath." Sabbath day, that'd be way too much work. Have you seen how dirty I am? It was ridiculous. It was absurd. Legalism is stupid. Knowing this legalistic context, Jesus' disciples, they're on their way to church on the Sabbath. They walk through a grain field. The disciples are hungry. They grab a little handful of grain. And the Pharisees, the Sabbath police, the rule rangers, call them out for working on the Sabbath. In verse 24, the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Now look at Jesus' response. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read?" Now, stop right there. Have you, religious people, never read? Jesus here is using a non-sinful form of sarcasm. He is saying to them, "Mr. Religious Know-It-Alls, have you never read your Bibles?" See, the problem with legalism and legalists is they spend way too much time studying the traditions of men and not nearly enough time studying the Word of God. Jesus says, "Have you even read your Bibles? Because it sure doesn't seem like it. Have you never read what David and those who were with him did when he was in need and hungry? How David entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest. And also gave some to his companions." Jesus here goes back to the Old Testament scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 21. David, before he was king, was running for his life because Saul was trying to kill him. So David and his men are on the run. They apparently didn't have any food. They get hungry. So they go into the church looking for something to eat on the Sabbath day. And the priest gave them the bread of the presence. Now, here's what that means. Every Sabbath day, it would have been every Saturday for the Jews, 12 loaves of hot bread, known as the bread of presence, were brought inside the tabernacle and placed on a golden table in the presence of God, symbolizing the need for the 12 tribes of Israel to have fellowship with God. Then the next Sabbath, 7 days later, the bread that had sat there all week would be removed and more hot bread would be brought in. But the old bread that was being removed, it could be eaten, but only by the priest, according to the law in Deuteronomy chapter 24. So David, though, and his hungry men come in, ask the priest for bread, and the priest was not technically supposed to give them the bread of the presence. It was only supposed to be for the priest, but the priest gives them the bread of the presence. Why? Because the priest understood God's heart. It is not God's heart that a religious ritual be kept to the T if it means a child of God goes hungry. It means mercy and love always triumph over ceremony. Jesus admits in verse 25 and 26 that David technically broke the law. But David did not break the spirit of the law. Why? What is the true spirit and purpose of God's law? Not just that we keep a bunch of rules and regulations. Galatians chapter 5, the New Testament comes along and says the whole law, Galatians 5:14, the whole law is fulfilled in one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. Loving people and meeting human need is always more important than observing a ritual. This is why Jesus said in Matthew 9:13 to the religious Pharisees, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Jesus would rather us focus on loving people than keeping all the religious rules. Who cares if we go to church every Sunday, but we refuse to forgive that person that offended us? See, we're missing the point. Who cares if we give our tithes and offerings every Sunday, but we're racist in our hearts? Who cares if we say our prayers religiously every day, but we're still cold and distant to our spouses? See, we're missing the point. Who cares if we don't mow our yards on the Sabbath, but we stick our nose up at the refugee in Walmart and secretly wish in our heart they just go back where they came from? We're missing the whole point, and our religion isn't real. That's Jesus' point in the second episode in chapter 3. When he heals the man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day, the Pharisees are scowling at him for breaking the Sabbath by healing a sick guy. But in verse 4 of chapter 3, Jesus said to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil? To save life or to kill? You know, the irony of this is they are scolding Jesus for saving a life on Saturday, all while that same Saturday afternoon, they are plotting to kill Jesus. Do you see the hypocrisy that legalism will do to you? Jesus doesn't come asking, what are the rules? Jesus comes asking, who needs to be loved? Jesus is not asking, who needs a religious lecture? Who needs a spanking? Jesus is saying, who needs grace? who needs forgiveness? Jesus isn't asking who needs to work harder to be more righteous. Jesus is asking whose soul is weary and needs rest. That's why I'm here. That is the true meaning of the Sabbath. Here's how we know this. Next verse, verse 27. Then Jesus told them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. God gave the Sabbath as a blessing for humanity, not a burden to crush humanity. But here is the problem with the Pharisees and the Sabbath. You ever had someone give you a gift, but that gift came with strings attached? I had a pastor friend years ago, not from here. Don't try to figure out who it is. I promise you don't know him. I had a pastor friend years ago who was new to his church, and a gentleman in the church asked to set up a meeting with the pastor. The gentleman walked into the pastor's office, and he laid a check for $1 million on the pastor's desk. True story. And he said, Pastor, you can use this money however you want for the ministry. But, Pastor, here are a few changes I need you to make in the church. My friend didn't accept the check. So I asked him if we could have it. How do you think we afford those hot tubs in the pastor's office? No. Seriously, why didn't my friend accept the $1 million? It's because it's not really a gift if it comes with strings attached. What Jesus says in verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a free gift from God. It doesn't cost us anything. It shouldn't be a burden to have to enjoy the blessing of the Sabbath. You get to have one whole day and not work, a whole day to rest, to enjoy, to take a nap, to watch Little House on the Prairie, to eat some apple pie. No guilt, no shame. But the Pharisees came along and wanted to attach all these strings to the gift of Sabbath. They were making the Sabbath a rule you had to keep, not a blessing you got to enjoy. Do you enjoy the gift of Sabbath God has given us? Whether it's Saturday or Sunday or another day, depends on your work schedule. That's a whole nother sermon. We're not by law and scripture bound. A particular day has to be the Sabbath necessarily. I don't believe that. But whatever day it is for you, do you take a whole day each week just to rest? Because if we're too busy to take a whole day just to rest, we're too busy. Plus, God can do way more in 6 days than we can do in 7 days anyway. My Papa Stallings was the hardest working man I ever knew. He worked sun up to sundown on the farm, trading cattle, wheeling and dealing. He worked sun up to sundown, and oftentimes in the middle of the night, the calf was being born. He worked sun up to sundown 6 days a week. He would not work on Sundays. That was his Sabbath. He got up, he read his Bible, he prayed, he ate grandma's homemade biscuits and bacon and blackberry jam with no shame or guilt. He went to Sunday school. He went to worship. He walked across the parking lot, had lunch with his family. He took a nap that afternoon, and that night he and grandma watched the Waltons on TV. No profanity, no nudity. And God blessed him until the day that he died. He never wanted for anything because my granddaddy knew he could do more in 6 days God's way than he could do in 7 days man's way. So I encourage you, if you're not already, receive the gift of Sabbath that God wants to give you. After all, even God rested on the seventh day. But back to the Pharisees and their harsh legalism. about the Sabbath day, making it more of a burden than a blessing. Here's the irony of the whole thing. Do the Pharisees seem like happy people to you? Are these the kind of dudes you want to hang out with? I mean, seriously, would you want to spend your day off with those dudes? Would you want to go on a vacation with them? Would you want to have them into your home for dinner? I mean, how rested do you think the Pharisees were on the Sabbath day, just following people around all day, waiting on them to make a mistake? I mean, it sounds awful. What a miserable existence. Legalistic people are restless souls. Legalistic religious people are the most irritable, angry, anxious people in the world. Why? Because not only are they so busy judging everybody else, but deep down inside, they're trying so hard to keep all the rules, to be righteous enough so that they can go to heaven. What a miserable, restless experience. Because how can you know you've ever done enough? I wonder how many of us this morning are more like the Pharisees than we're willing to admit. We're trying so hard to keep all the religious rules. We're trying so hard to be good enough. We're trying so hard to make ourselves acceptable to God so that maybe one day we can make it to heaven. You know, we often throw stones at the Pharisees, but I wonder how many of us are more like the Pharisees than we think. I can assure you of this. When the Pharisees' mamas FaceTimed them, they would have said, "Honey, you look tired. You need to get some rest." And that's where many of us are this morning. I sense it when we gather. I sense it in my own soul. Back to our opening soul exam, your annual. But this time it's not me asking the question, it's Jesus. Jesus is now the one wearing the white coat. And Jesus is the one holding the iPad, and he sits on the little stool and you're on the table. And Jesus is asking you, is your soul well rested this morning, or is your soul restless? Can you hear the voice of Christ to you? And not sternly, not condescendingly, but gently and humbly. Oh, child, is your soul at peace? Or do you have an anxious spirit? Is there joy in your soul? Or are you irritable on the inside? Is your soul at ease? Or is your soul exhausted? In verse 27, Jesus told them, the Sabbath was made for man, the gift, not man for the Sabbath. I'm not trying to give you a bunch of things you have to do. I'm trying to give you something to enjoy. So then, verse 28, the Son of Man, Jesus here references a prophecy from Daniel that the Messiah would be the God-man, the Son of Man. The Son of Man, referring to himself, is Lord. So Jesus here is claiming to be God. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. You see what he's doing? Jesus is saying the Sabbath is really all about me. I'm Lord of the Sabbath. Colossians chapter 2, look how the apostle comes along and interprets the Sabbath. Therefore, don't let anyone judge you. Don't let the Pharisees or the super religious people judge you or shame you or guilt you in regard to food and drink, what you can eat, what you can't eat, what you can't drink, what you can drink. Or in the matter of a festival, or a new moon, or a what? Sabbath day. Don't let people judge you in the way you interpret the Sabbath day. These, that is, special days like the Sabbath, are a shadow of what was to come, but the substance is Christ. Do you see how Jesus comes and fulfills the Sabbath? See, the Sabbath day was never the point. The Sabbath day was a pointer. The Sabbath day points us to the even greater rest found in Jesus. Jesus is our true Sabbath. I know we, most of us at least would say we believe in Jesus this morning, but are you really resting in Jesus? If being a Christian feels more like work to you than it does soul rest in Christ, we're missing something. How's your soul? Is it well rested or is it restless? Is your soul at ease or is your soul exhausted? If your soul this morning is tired, depleted, and you're tired of all the striving and wondering if you've done enough, Jesus has great news for you this morning. To all of us who are weary, receive the word of the Lord, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. A Sabbath rest remains for God's people. Doesn't that sound amazing? How do you get this rest? Verse 3, for we who have believed enter that rest. We don't get Sabbath rest for our souls through our good works and all the religious stuff. We get Sabbath rest for our souls through faith and belief in Jesus. Romans chapter 4, Paul comes along and addresses the legalism and all the rule keeping. And he says, now to the one who works, he means trying to work our way into heaven, to the one who works, pay is not credited as a gift, but as something owed. But to the one who does not work, but believes on Christ who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited for righteousness. We are not made righteous before God by our good works and our religion. We are justified. We are made right before God by believing in Jesus, who's already done all the work for us. Friends, listen. If we don't grasp this gospel truth, our souls will never be at rest. We'll always be striving, but you will never achieve righteousness. Because you can give all the money to the church, but you could have given more. Why didn't you sell your house too and also give that? You can go to church every Sunday, but you could have also went to small group Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday night. So you can always do more. You can feed the hungry, but you didn't feed all the hungry. You see, you'll never do enough. You'll never be good enough. You'll never be holy enough to get in. Only Jesus. He is our only hope. See, the true biblical Christianity means the pressure is off to have to be enough. Jesus is and was enough. And you receive his righteousness through faith and belief in him. But to all those who are slaves to legalism, and if you are exhausted and worn out by having to keep all the traditions of men, Jesus comes along in the context, I wish I had time, I don't. In Matthew 11, he's just about to teach on the Sabbath in the first part of chapter 12. Look at how Jesus gives a sermon introduction to his teaching on the Sabbath. Matthew 11, verse 28, look at this. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. He means weary and burdened from all the legalistic rules and traditions you're trying to keep to get into heaven. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. I am your Sabbath. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How do you find rest for your weary soul? Not by doing more, not by striving harder, not by keeping all the extra biblical man-made rules of religion. No, you find rest for your soul by resting in Jesus. Jesus is the true Sabbath of God. And when Jesus died on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." And the book of Hebrews tells us three times that after Jesus died, he was raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, and Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. Why is Jesus sitting down? Not because he is tired, but because he is finished. We don't have to work to earn our salvation. Jesus finished all the work at the cross, which means you can stop striving. Stop trying so hard to earn favor with God. Stop trying so hard to be good enough. You can rest in Christ. You can Sabbath in Christ because it is finished. And that is great, liberating news for all the weary, anxious, burdened, exhausted souls. Come to me, all ye who are weary, and I will give you rest. Let's bow our heads. I'd love to invite our music team and ministry team to come forward. I just want to encourage you to take the next few moments and sit quietly before the Lord and reflect and meditate on God's word you've heard today. How is the Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning? Perhaps we need to repent of our effort to earn our own righteousness. And we need to confess the sin of thinking we can earn our salvation, and we say, God, forgive me. I'm just going to start trusting you from now on. I believe in Jesus, and Jesus is enough. Maybe you're here and you've had a very critical spirit towards other believers who don't keep all the rules you keep, and you've had a judgmental spirit. And you need to confess that sin of pride to the Lord and ask his forgiveness. However the Lord is leading you this morning, take the next few moments, sit with him. We'll have ministry team members down here on my left and right under the screens on the wall. They'd love to pray with you on any matter the Lord may have laid on your heart today. I'll be down here as well. So let's take the next few moments for prayer and then we'll proceed with singing. Lord Jesus, this morning, teach us to abide. Lord Jesus, give us the grace of Sabbath rest in you. Lord, our striving, exhausted souls, we come to you. Lord, your yoke is easy, your burden is light. Teach us to abide. Teach us to rest. Lord Jesus, abide with us. Hold us, carry us. We're weary, we're tired, we're anxious. We need Sabbath. God, may this message not be a burden to bear, but a gift to receive. Oh, help us to humbly and meekly receive it, and to not argue with you about it, but it's to receive grace. Not to earn it, not to strive for it, but just to receive it as a gift that's totally free with no strings attached. Free grace, free forgiveness, free righteousness. We believe in Christ. We receive this righteousness through Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.
Thanks for checking out Sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.